So here is the plan. I want to go through some of the main halachot of Hanukkah. Before I do so, I wanted to just see a few sources inside that we can get a little bit more of the, I'll call it the ashkafa, but from like a halachic perspective of Hanukkah. So we can really like understand Hanukkah on a deeper level. I'm going to start with that. We'll go through a few sources. Then I'm going to get into the mainstream halachot of Hanukkah. And I'm going to go until the Orah tells me 2 minutes. Okay?
No, but
you should stop me at some point.
Okay.
All right, fine. All right. I find Hanukkah to be one of the most fascinating holidays. On the one hand, Hanukkah is a time when we celebrate the fact that we were not influenced by the Greeks. And what is the most fundamental principle of Hanukkah? Pursue Menisa, where we outwardly try to influence positively others. Right, so this whole aspect of influence ourselves, others, I think is a very like fundamental piece of Hanukkah. That separation is very interesting. Even further, I would even say there's almost like a contradiction in some of the fundamental principles of Hanukkah. So we said Pursume Nisa, I would call that like number one. Right, that's like the number one like theme of Hanukkah. If there's a number two, what's the number two theme of Hanukkah? Okay, there's like the war of the, right? Winning the war, yeah.
That's Pach HaShemen.
Okay, the miracle of the Pach HaShemen. I'm thinking more like halachic theme.
Candlelight?
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
Neri Shubeto.
Like the house?
Yeah, so what is Neri Shubeto?
Like the fact that you can actually fulfill your obligation by just having like one candle per house.
Right, so Nina Din, just the halacha, you only need one candle per house. Now, I think all of the halachot of Hanukkah are based off those two lines, Pursume Nisa and Neri Shubeto. Right, if you understand those two principles, all of the halachot really stem from those two principles. Make sense? Now, the thing I find also interesting is that those two principles are also a little bit contradictory. Why?
When I'm talking about, like, you know, like, big, like, you know, I don't know what word to use. And one of them is, like, you know, like, you only need one candle, and, like, think, like,
simplistic.
What? Yeah, simplistic, like very, like, you know, yeah, like, down to earth, and like, you know, I think, isn't there a Gemara also that says, like, you're supposed to sell if you have to, like, sell something to afford the Hanukkah candles?
Yeah.
So it's, like, very, like, you know, like, this is something that's so important that, like, you know, you just, like, a humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah, Rafi.
I mean, it's the same idea, but one kind of sets a minimum bar and one sets like an endless maximum bar.
Yeah.
Okay. Neri Shubeto, you say, is like the minimum.
That's our minimum, and then like
that's the floor.
Like, get a billboard and put a giant Chabad menorah on it.
Right.
In fact, let's have two of them.
Right. No, I think Pursume Nisa, I think the lighting at McKeldin. Right. I think Neri Shubeto, I think someone who they're not allowed to learn, it doesn't cover you, true.
Right.
Which is someone who like can't light in their dorm, so they're lighting like, they're not allowed to light in the dorm, so they're hiding their candle at the window of their dorm and hoping their RA doesn't see it, right? That's Neri Shubeto, right? You in your house, no one should see it. So I think these two terms are a little bit contradictory, but they might uncover or unveil really what the mitzvah of Hanukkah is all about. And that's what I want to talk about for the first 5-10 minutes. Good? Any questions so far? Okay, so let's look at a few sources. So I said that these principles really dictate the halachot of Hanukkah, right? And the first time you see that is something you don't see by anything else in any other area of halacha, which is in any area of halacha, call it hilchot tefillah, hilchot matzah, there's always a zman, right? What's the zman? Right? The zman is 6:53 and 24 chalakim, right? That's the zman. What's the zman for Hanukkah?
People walk
by. Yeah, what time is that exactly?
Depends on where you are.
Okay, so it's not precise at all, which is very strange. We never see that, right, in any area of halacha. Right, if you look at source one, it says Ad Tichla Regel Minashuk V'Ad Kama Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ad Dekalya Regilia De Tormade, right, until the traffic of the people of Tormade ceases, right. And again, it's exactly what you said. Like, why do they mention the place? Because it depends on the place, right? Okay, so
it depends on, like, you know, I don't know. It's like different. I would imagine, like, back then, like, the market was not a place that people went to a lot at night. Like commercial areas where you buy stuff. Now, like, that's where a lot of people are at night.
Right, right.
The movies are like, you know, malls. I don't know.
So this is not just like a nice idea. It's really halacha lemaisa. If you're getting back late from work or whatever, right, and you're getting back at 8 p.m. and people are still out, I would say you should light. But if you're on a flight and you're getting home at 3 a.m., I would say probably better to have your parents have you in mind, because no one's out at 3 a.m. Maybe some places, but most places not, right? So it really is halakha l'maisa, this zman of ad shetechel regam enosha, right? Okay, let's go a little bit further. So in source 2, it talks about, it pits the mitzvah of Hanukkah against other mitzvot, and it asks which one's more important. So the Gemara starts Amar Rava. Pshita li ner beto v'ner Chanukah ner beto aviv. If you have your own personal light for your house, your own lighting, or ner Chanukah, which one should go first? I would think, he says, ner beto aviv. Adif, right? The ner of your house, the lighting in your own house is preferred. Why? Mishum shalom bayit. Shalom bayit, shalom beto, takes precedent over Chanukah. Then it says ner beto v'kiddush hayom ner beto avi mishum shalom bayit. And not just over Chanukah, but even over Kiddush. That's how important Shalom Bayit is. It's even more important than Kiddush.
Could you say that?
No, I think it's talking about any Kiddush. No.
Well, because Kiddush Laila is Doraita, though, right?
So you're saying it's obvious. Right. Okay. Yeah, good point. Great point.
Like, I think it's, isn't it called Kiddush Laila? I think that's, No, on second thought, you're right. It is a phrase. I don't think it's fair to make that distinction based on Kiddush. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, yeah. I think it's just referring to Kiddush in general also. That's what I thought also. By Rava, Ner Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayom Mahu. What about Ner Chanukah and Kiddush? What do you guys think? Which is more important?
Are you being insecure?
Why? Well, is Ner Chanukah Doraita or Derabanan? Okay, Kiddush is? Okay. That's one idea. Also, which one happens more frequently? Okay, so there's a concept that things that are more frequent actually take precedent. Right? It's called Tadir, V'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So based on that principle, since we say Kiddush more than we light Hanukkah candles, seemingly Kiddush would take precedent. And that's the first argument in the Gemara. Kiddush Hayom Adif to Tadir. It's more common. Or maybe you would say, O Dilma, Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persume Nisa. Maybe Chanukah is more important because of Persume Nisa. What do you think about that? That's like a pretty extreme statement, I would say. To say Persume Nisa has a jump over Kiddush?
But weird, like, I don't know if you can, I can't think of any other mitzvot that, like, depend on other people in an asymmetrical way, like, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
obviously there's, like, minion, but, like, you know, everybody, like, yeah, exactly, so, like, this is, yeah, exactly.
Great, good, great point. In the end, the Gemara concludes, Basar Dibai Hadar Pashte Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persume Nisa. The conclusion of the Gemara is actually that Chanukah takes precedence over Kiddush because of the aspect of Persume Nisa. Right? So this is not a weak concept. This is actually a very strong concept, as you can see through this example of the Gemara. Any questions so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
When would it have ever been okay to make Kiddush before lighting your candles? Because if Kiddush, not something shabby, and now you can't.
So I actually don't think it's talking about precedent in terms of chronologically. I think it's talking about precedent in terms of you're limited in money.
Oh, okay.
So kodem, tadir sheino tadir tadir kodem means which one in this case should you buy first?
Okay.
If you have limited money. But great question. Normally it talks about like yaknahaz, which one do you do first? But here it's talking about buying first. Great point. Yeah. Yeah.
So, clarify. Are they saying that Ner Shabbos, Ner Hanukkah, and then Kiddush Hayom?
Well, actually didn't bring up Ner Shabbos.
So,
talked about Shalom Bayit. And you could say that's actually referring to Ner Shabbos, because according to at least one opinion, the whole point of Shabbos candles is Shalom Bayit.
Okay.
That's one of three opinions.
Right, because the English translates that.
It says Ner Shabbos.
It says Shabbat Leah.
Okay, so it's, I'm sure some of the Farshim point that out, that it's actually referring to Ner Shabbat. Good. Okay. Let's look at one more example of this, and then we'll get into like run through all the halachot. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. This seems like a very irrelevant case, but I actually think it tells us a lot about Hanukkah. Ner Hanukkah, mitzvah lahanicha, talking about where to put the Hanukkah candles. Mitzvah lahanicha al petach beto mi bachutz. You have to put the Ner Hanukkah on the outside of your house, right? By the entrance of your house on the outside. Right, is that what everyone did?
Yeah. No.
Only Rafi? Yeah, Rafi, what did you do?
I had a fish tank.
Yeah.
And I put it outside.
On the right side
of the house. Okay.
Like in the hallway.
You put it in the hallway or?
No, on the porch.
On the porch?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay.
You live on the first side.
I'm sure most people notice that in Israel, it's much more common to see people put the Chanukiot outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
even have a box.
Most people have a box, I think. It's here, here. No, it's not that. It's somewhere here, here. I don't know if you've ever been to, like, the Old City for Hanukkah. It's like beautiful, like, in the Old City, like, to really see, like, all the candles, like, everywhere. But it's amazing. Okay, so that's where you're supposed to put the candles. What happens if you live in an apartment three floors up? You put it by the window close to Rishut HaRabim, right? So people can see it. And finally, the Gemara's last point is Ubishat Sakana Menicha al Shulchano Vidayo. In a time of danger, you put it on your own table, and that is enough. Now, I will point out, this is something very interesting. Most people don't consider this to be relevant nowadays. But if you can imagine, in some places where anti-Semitism is on a rise, there are people who are taking down their mezuzot. There might be people who are afraid to put a menorah, to put a chanukiah, by their window facing outside. This might be one of the first times in a long time that this halacha is actually relevant, which is interesting and terrifying at the same time. Yeah. They put it on their table?
I don't know. I heard that today. I trust the Chabad crowd that told me that.
Okay.
I don't know, yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it a little bit more. Yeah.
What if you're like in a... What if you just like live in a like more foresty place and there's like not people walking by your house?
So listen, you really live like secluded?
I mean, I don't know. There are places like...
Yeah,
15 minutes away from like where I live in a suburb of Boston, that are like, you know, the houses are each like a few hundred feet apart.
We'll talk about that. I think we'll get to that. There is a Rashman who says you should even light on desert islands. You have to light a Hanukkah.
Even if you're the only one.
So why might that be? Good.
You're still celebrating other miracles besides just
Pesach. Good. Yeah, it's not just but. Okay, fine. Good. Good. Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit more, but I'll do it in a second. Okay, so let's look at Tosfot in Source 4. Anyone see it? So Tosfot brings an interesting point to the whole thing of putting the Chanukiah on the outside. He says it's a mitzvah to put it on the outside. Umairi deleka chater. That's dealing in a situation where you don't have a courtyard. Right? And if you know what like a courtyard is? It's kind of like a front lawn, right? Ella bayit omid samach l'shterabim. Rather, if your house is like all the way up against the main street, then you would put it by your doorway. But if you have like a front yard, like a courtyard in front of your house, between your house and the main street, you would put it actually at the entrance of the chater. Well, that really is. I mean, the porch is so small. I think it's talking about like a big, like where there's like.
Were you?
The difference between like his porch. I think you could, but you could bring it closer to Rishut HaRabim. I think that's the point. It's saying if you didn't have a chatzer, then you would just put it by your door because it's right against Rishut HaRabim. If you have a chatzer, you put it by the entrance of the chatzer, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the entrance of your house. Now, so Rashi...
I have a corner apartment
where,
along one wall, it has windows facing into a courtyard. One of the domain courtyards.
Yeah, okay.
The other wall is facing the walkway behind it and the church, where a lot of people park their cars.
I don't think that's the example this is talking about. I think this is talking about a courtyard between your house and the Rishut HaRabim. You're talking about, do you do the courtyard or the Rishut HaRabim?
Right.
Whichever has more people, whichever has people passing it, yeah.
I know what the laws are in other places, but like, in Newton, like, the lawn, like, there's your house sidewalk lawn, but there's like a little lawn in between the sidewalk and the street, and that's like also your property?
Yeah.
So like, what if it's like made up non-contiguous pieces of, like...
I actually think it's not considered your property in most places. Because I know my brother-in-law had a tree that was rotted in that area, and they told him if it was on in front of the sidewalk, he would have to pay for it. But since it's on that strip, the government will pay for it. Because that's technically... I don't know.
So what about...
Alright, we're getting off topic. Okay. Alright. Rashi argues with Tosfot and says, no, it doesn't go at the entrance of the courtyard. It actually goes at the entrance of your house. And my question is... How do you justify Rashi's opinion? Seemingly, the whole point is Pursume Nisa. We would want to place the Chanukiah as close to Rishut HaRabim as possible. So what's behind this machlokas? Why is Rashi saying that rather you should place the Chanukiah at the entrance of your house?
Because yeah. Then you, it's kind of like Rashi saying you get the best of both worlds, where like you're facing it towards like Shira Rabin, but like it's also like valuing that it's close to your house, and it's like I feel like he's more focusing on the narrow Shibeto as opposed to Persuma.
Yeah, right. I think so also, right? So if you took like Persuma needs to extreme, I would say you'd be yote with lighting
in the parking lot.
Yeah, you'd be yote with McKelvin, right? But clearly, if that extreme is not yote. There has to be, it has to be tethered to your own reshu to some degree. And so the question is, how much degree is that? How much does it have to be tethered to your own reshu? Can you put it not even at your house, at the courtyard, or can it actually be at your house? Right? Or does it have to be at your house? Because everyone agrees you can't just do it like again in like a public park in Grand Park, like right in Central Park. It has to be tethered to your house. Right? Everyone see like how that can be like what's behind that machloka there? Does that make sense? Yeah.
But Tosfos not saying that you could be yote like Mikhail delighting. You're just saying
right. I would say
it should be closer to like the more people as opposed to your house.
Right. I guess you would say. I guess you can say what's behind that machlokas, either like how much is a courtyard considered like your property? That's like a very technical way of analyzing it, or just how literal are we when we say Neri Shubeto, right? How tethered does it have to be? Okay, one last point that I want to make. So again, I think we're like building this picture where really there are two aspects to Neir Hanukkah. There's the fact that it has to impact, that it has to be tethered to your own home, but you also want to impact as many people as possible. Now, the one thing we saw, right, if the one extreme of Persuma Nisa was putting it, say, at McKeldin, so everyone can see it, so what's the extreme of the opposite of Neir Shubeto? Okay. Yeah. I think it's the example given, right, where you just light it in your own home, right, on your table. That's the example given. And when do you do that? B'shat Sakana. It used a funny term in the Gemara. It said B'shat Sakana, you put it on your own table, and it used the word Vidayo, and that's enough. Right? Which is a very strange way of putting it, because very rarely do we use that term when we're talking about a Bidiyevit situation.
We're just talking about like the Adiv, so it's like, it's so like contrasting of like Adiv versus like Daya. Like it's just like, oh, it's just
enough.
It's like,
okay,
it's just
yeah.
Like, better than a Bidiyevit. It makes it sound like this still works.
I mean, if it's Pikuach Nefesh, is it even a question?
No.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think? Yeah, good. Why? Why do you say that?
Like, I feel like Pikuach Nefesh is always like, okay, like, you always have it. But like,
so what is it if not Pikuach Nefesh?
If it's Pikuach Nefesh, you wouldn't even have to light it.
Okay.
It's truly such a concern.
So why are you...
Therefore, you're saying that you need to light it regardless, even if it's... It implies that even under Pikuach Nefesh, you still have to light it, and it's enough for if it's just you that sees it.
Okay.
Then it kind of feeds into the nature of Hanukkah, that's a different story. But like, yeah, I think that's why I can say Vidal, and it's enough for you. It's not an Adif anymore. It's not a greater situation. It's not like extrapolative to some greater like world. But it's for you personally, it'll be enough.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, yeah. I'll share a really interesting idea that I heard by Rabbi Menachem Schrader that I thought was like really fascinating take on this. He argued that the word Vidayo is very different from Bidiyevit. Bidiyevit is like, we wish you could do this, but you can't, so you may as well do that. Right? That's Bidiyevit. If you have no choice, then I guess you'll do that. He said Vidayo kind of represents completeness. It's not Bidiyevit, but Vidayo. In this situation, that is the fullest form of the mitzvah. Right? If you are in a shat sakana, then the fullest form of the mitzvah is to just light it on your own table. And this is what he suggested. I thought it was really interesting. He said, if the world is in a place where it's a sakana for a Jew to put a Chanukiah at his window, for him to be pursuing Nisa, if that presents a sakana to a Jew, right, if that creates a situation of fear, right, that is a very extreme state for the world to be in, for a Jewish community to be in. And if that is the case, then you yourself, as a Jew, living in that environment, may need chizuk. And therefore, for you, in that environment, it is actually l'chachila for the main focus of the pursuing Nisa, of the Chanukiah, to be yourself. That's what he said. And that's why it's saying Vidayo, it's enough. That is the complete mitzvah. Now, to support that, I would say that we already know what we've seen so far in all the halachot is that so much of Persume Nisa, so much of the mitzvah of Hanukkah is not just Persume Nisa to the people on the outside, If it were the case, you would just lie to Mekeldin. But it has to be tethered to you. At, to some degree, the subject of the Pursuma Nisa, even in the best of times, is yourself. And in the worst of times, you are the fundamental target of Pursuma Nisa. You are the person who needs the message of the narrative of Hanukkah more than anybody else. Which is why in a Shat Sakana, you should light on your own table and that is enough. That was the idea shared. I thought it was very interesting. And I think it really, this entire sugya, I think really uncovers what Neiruch Hanukkah should be. It should be that relationship between us protecting ourselves, strengthening ourselves, and how that relates to our ability to impact and strengthen others. Right? And I think those two things are very connected to each other. And I really think that is one of the messages and one of the main ideas that I'm trying to take away this Hanukkah, especially as we're going through such an extreme time as a people. Where it feels like almost it is us against the world, and it is one of the ways that we can think about how we can make that positive impact on the world while also maintaining that strength for ourselves. Thank you, everyone. Questions, Tal?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could...